Programming on NPR is supported by Northwest Airlines and the 20,000 people of Northwest who are proud to call Minnesota home.
Good morning. Welcome to Mid-Morning. I'm Catherine Lanfer. What's the best way to pay for the state's natural resources, from riverbeds to non-game wildlife, from hiking trails to parks and zoos? Some lawmakers and outdoor advocates are beginning to believe that the only way to assure funding is through a constitutional amendment. Under the proposal, voters would decide this fall if a portion of the state's sales tax would be permanently designated for the great outdoors. Now, while the amendment has the support of such sporting celebrities as Bud Grant, it does have its political detractors who argue that there are other ways to budget. And if we aren't careful, we'll soon have a constitution bristling with amendments to fund different interests. What do you think? We'll talk today with Senator Bob Lassard. He's a backer of the proposed amendment, and he represents International Falls in the state Senate. Senator Lassard, thanks for joining us today.
Nice to be here.
Now, first, let's talk about exactly what this amendment would do. How much money are we talking about?
Well, we're talking in the vicinity of $100 million, $112, somewhere in that vicinity. What this is really a takeoff of what they call the Missouri Plan, where we dedicate a portion of our sales tax to for a specific purpose. In this case, what we're doing is we take 3/16 of 1% of our sales tax, and we dedicate 25% of that goes to metro parks, 25% of that goes to our state parks and trail systems, 45% goes to what we call a game and fish resource enhancement fund within our game and fish fund, and that leaves 5%. And out of that last 5%, we take 2% of that goes to our three zoos, and the other 3% goes to our to our trail system.
Boy, are we even talking about real money here?
We're talking
3% of 3/16 of 1%.
Well, what you do, the simplest way to do it is, let's just take, you say, $100 million. As a round figure.
Mm-hmm.
That means $25 million would go to our metro park system. $25
mm-hmm.
million would go to our state parks and trail system. $45 million would go to our the Fish and Game Resource Enhancement Fund within the DNR. And the other 5% would go to our parks and trails. Now, what this would do to our zoos, if you figure it out proportionally, but it would give each one of our zoos, at Duluth Zoo, one in Apple Valley, at Minnesota Zoo, and the Como Zoo, a little over $700,000 apiece a year. And that would leave about $2,100,000 that would go to our trail system. So basically that's the breakdown if you use the percentage of 3/16.
Well, how are these things paid for now?
Well, right now, let's take the Game and Fish Fund. The Game and Fish Fund is basically all this is being supported is our game and fish licenses fees. And we're just going to raise them this year, possibly raise them this year. But what we're doing barely, it doesn't even keep up with inflation.
I'm going to stop you because, I mean, you're an outdoors person. When you say Game and Fish Fund, you have a real concrete image that comes to your mind. I'm thinking of someone who's out there who, when they hear game and fish, they think, what? We have to pay for game? We have to pay for fish?
Well, it first off, it wouldn't go for game and fish. It goes through all kinds of other outdoor activities, enhancement, protection of our lands and waters. It's a broad-based formula. But you know, when I specifically refer to the Game and Fish Fund, which should certainly be taking a part of this $45 million, is we're not even keeping up with what we have. We generate to the state of Minnesota in excess between those two activities of over $3 billion a year. So just the spinoff of that alone is almost incomprehensible. And a lot of people don't realize that Minnesota is the largest single public, owns more public land than any other state in the union. Think about that. Minnesota owns more public land than any other state in the union, if you take out Alaska and the continental United States. So what's happening is we're not even beginning to keep up with what we can do to protect our natural resources. We're not even starting, and we certainly can't do it by bearing it on the back of just license fees. It's utterly impossible.
So license fees, in other words, when a deer hunter gets his or her license, when a an angler gets a fishing license, those that money is what we are relying on to feed deer, to stock lakes.
Well, it isn't just feeding deer, stock lakes, habitat, and it benefits everything. It benefits the game birds. It benefits a broad spectrum. And what's happening is the Game and Fish Fund is bearing the burden of that. And we're not even beginning to keep up. And the same as our parks and trails. Our state parks, we're not even beginning to keep up, even keeping up the maintenance of our state parks. And now if this year there's been a couple of new state park bonding proposals that are coming in. They call them recreational areas, but they've turned into state parks. And we can't even fund what we have, much less fund any new ones. So this would...
Well, there have been a number of parks that have had to close.
Well, exactly.
The hours have been reduced.
Well, that comes under... some of that comes under Department. That's absolutely correct, because mm-hmm. there's just not enough money, much less to add any new ones to our state parks and trails system. So this would generate about over $25 million a year. And the same thing to your metro parks. You know, I'm great in Minnesota, as far away as you can get, International Falls, but I don't think... Well, I hope that people do think they realize the treasure you have here in the Twin Cities with all these lakes and streams. You know, there's no other city in the United States that have what you have here in the metropolitan area. I drive by them all the time, and I keep thinking, oh, my God, look at all the things they could be doing to these lakes, fishing piers, all kinds of things, or trails, things that they could be doing if you had the money to do it. And right now, in the metro parks and trail system, you do get some from the General Revenue Fund, but also it's borne also on the back of the taxpayers. And I just think we have to do more, and that's the purpose of this bill.
Now, I'm a little confused about one thing, and that is, would this money help fund the Department of Natural Resources? They've obviously been saying for a long time that they are in trouble. They have game warden positions they can't fill.
Oh, well, obviously, the Parks and Trails Systems comes under the jurisdiction of the Department of Natural Resources. I chair the Environment and Natural Resource Committee here in the Senate, and... That's one of their discipline. The state parks and trail systems comes under the jurisdiction of the Department of Natural Resources, as does our Fish and Wildlife divisions come under the jurisdiction of the Department of Natural Resources. Our metro parks do not, nor do our zoos.
So your proposed constitutional amendment would both help fund programs that fall under the DNR and then programs that fall under metro management.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. It's landmark legislation. But I think it's long overdue. And I'm absolutely convinced if we don't do it this year, we're never going to do it. And I think the whole...
Why is that?
Well, we have a surplus. But now the people, if you look at all the polls that show environment, that's the number one thing that's on all the polls. That's what everybody wants. And it's just, this is the time to do it. It's just long overdue. I've been around here for 24 years now, and I have never been involved in a piece of legislation or authored a piece of legislation that I've had so much support from divergent views. I've got metropolitan parks, state parks and trails, and sportsmen, women, and all the other entities supporting this particular piece of legislation. And you don't see that very often. At least I haven't in the 24 years I've been here.
We are talking to Senator Bob Lassard. He's the DFL senator from International Falls. He's one of the advocates of a proposed amendment to the Constitution that would set aside a small portion of the state sales tax revenue to fund the great outdoors. This proposal that's in the legislature right now, if it ever got to the floor, would then give you the choice to vote this fall on whether you would like to see this amendment to the state constitution. We'll join our conversation right now. Don't necessarily cast a ballot, but cast your opinion here in this conversation. It's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. Do we need an amendment to the state constitution to designate permanent funding for our outdoor resources? It's 651-227-6000 if you're in the Twin Cities. 651-227-6000. I want to get back to tonight. Missouri did something similar to this. This is where you got the idea. How long ago did they do it? What kind of success are they seeing?
They've had remarkable success. I don't know the year that they did. I think it was about 8-9 years ago. But they have funded, I'm sorry I didn't bring some of the particulars with me, but they have funded everything from wild turkey to trails. It's very similar to what we're doing here. It basically would be covering just about the same type of of activities, except the bill that we have, that I'm chief authoring, this particular bill. It's higher figures. It refunds some major things, major activities like our parks, our metro parks. I don't think they fund that within their particular with the Missouri plan. But it's based after what Missouri did.
Now, there are, of course, objections to this proposed amendment. Roger Moe, the head of the Senate, has said that he thinks it's simply bad fiscal policy to use an amendment every time you want to make sure you want to make sure something's funded.
Well, you know, I've heard that argument before, and I've heard the argument you could open up Pandora's box. This is not true. First off, I disagree. I think it's a great fiscal policy. Look, what you have to look at, we have to look at the future generations. Our budget this year is between $24 billion. Now, think about that. $24 billion. And is it asking too much to take 3/16 of 1% to take care of what I think is take care of what all the our parks and our trails and our wildlife, everything, and our lakes and our streams, everything that Minnesota has to offer? There's no other state in the union that has that. And I disagree with that. And
well, you know, obviously, your argument about this natural resources being a legacy, who's going to disagree with that? But rather, if someone disagrees with the way you fund it, I mean, it sounds to me like what you're making is a really sound argument that if we have this sort of surplus, we simply need to fund our natural resources, not necessarily amend the Constitution.
Well, let me tell you what, if you're in the real world here in the legislature, we're funding from crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis. And somewhere in the process, you have to elevate and prioritize what should be funded. You cannot, for instance, fund to your state parks. We're going from crisis to crisis. How in the world can you, if you get a, you get a recession, bingo. The first thing that goes down is what some people think should be the bottom end of the totem pole. And this is what's happened over the years. Our game and fish, it's so easy to forget some of the maybe not the high-profile things like education. And by the way, we fund education. This would not. I know another argument they're using. They're saying that this would dip into education. The billions of dollars we put education, this, what we're asking does not even show up on the radar screen of a $24 billion budget. It doesn't even show up. So, and we bring in money to the state. We bring in revenue to the state that funds all these other programs.
When you say we, who's we? The tourism that comes out of?
Not the tourists, the people that go to our state parks, use our state parks and trails, hunt and fish, look at wildlife, ski, whatever. So whatever the case may be, we actually generate in the tune of over $3 billion in a biennium, or $3 billion a year. Actually, about $2.5 billion a year, but it's about $4.5 billion in a biennium.
Well, I mean, let's get back to the people who use the outdoors. Maybe they should pay for it. Maybe we should hike license fees.
Well, yeah, you can hike license fees, but you couldn't begin to do what has to be done. Remember, like I said previously, we are the largest single landowner. We got millions upon millions of acres. In order to fund them properly, and by the way, this doesn't affect just hunting and fishing. It affects all our wildlife, affects our habitat, non-game, affects everything. We could probably hike our fees to $1,000 for a deer license. We couldn't even begin to do what we have to do. And I think that's the same as your parks and trails. When you go into your state park system, we have a user's fee. We have, you pay an entrance fee.
Right.
They will never be self-supporting. You'd have to, I have no idea how high you would have to make the entrance fee if you were going to make them self-supporting. And the same thing here in your metropolitan area is based strictly on your, some general revenue fund, but some of it on a levy, on your taxpayers. Well, there's always opposition to that. So the issue is, I think, in a nutshell, is it worth it? Are we going to be able to vote on a constitutional amendment that'll leave something for our future generations? And I just think it's that simple, and I think this is the time to do it.
We're going to go to Jennifer in Rochester. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just was wondering, 3/16 of 1% doesn't sound like a lot to me. However, if it's enough to keep them going, I wanted to know where we're taking that money from. I assume all of our budget is pretty much spoken for, even the refunds coming out. I was just wondering what we're going to...
Well, as we've been saying, it would be taken out of the state sales tax.
Right, but wasn't that money coming in for the sales tax earmarked for something before this?
Well, no, our state sales pod basically goes into our general revenue fund, and we get funding from other sources besides that that goes into our general revenue fund. But your sales tax goes from the general revenue fund, and then you allocate expenditures out of the general revenue fund, and that's where you come up with a excess of $24 billion in a biennium.
Well, but if you're Jennifer and you're listening to this and you say, yes, we usually designate funds out of the general revenue fund, is that where the education argument comes in? I mean, do roads come out of general revenue? Does education come out of general revenue?
Roads, a lot of your road funding is basically dedicated right now. In fact, that's another bill that's going to the legislature or attempting to go through the legislature. I don't know if it'll get through this year. And right now we dedicate, at this point in time, our gas tax goes into our highway trunk, highway system. So that's already designated from our sales tax. So we're not cutting any new ground here.
Jennifer, does that, okay, I guess that did answer her question. We're going to go to Tom in Golden Valley.
Yes,
welcome to Mid-Morning.
Howdy.
Hi.
They have a question. I think what you're trying to do is a really good idea. I personally am candidates who are very environmental-minded are always one of the primary concerns or things I look for when voting for someone. But my concern with a constitutional amendment is, are we going to begin to micromanage the Constitution to the point that, you know, you have to do X, Y, and Z? I see the Constitution as something that should be more broad, perhaps thinking about maybe instead of we're taking 3/16 of 1%, let all legislation passed has to take the environment into account. Is that making sense?
Well, I don't know exactly where you're coming from, but we fund them. What your priorities want to be. If you want to leave something, and I'm going to go back to what I previously said. If you want to have something treasure, what we have in the state to offer for future generations, you have to prioritize, and that's exactly what this does. And what it does just lets the people decide if they feel that
But I think you can't you prioritize by making a more broad statement, rather than what happens if 3/16 becomes woefully inadequate in 5 years? Do we put this before the voters again? I think that if you continually, if we set up these specific guidelines, I just don't see a constitutional amendment as the way to go.
Well, the alternative is when you look what we take now to fund these particular our parks and our trails and our zoos and everything else. When you look at that, what we fund right now, when you look at what we're taking out of a general revenue fund, it doesn't even show up on the radar screen. It just doesn't even show up. And no, I don't think so. And by the way, if something's a good idea, it's a good idea. If it's not a good idea, it's not a good idea. So this just gives the people the opportunity to do so. But if you're around the legislative process and you're trying to fund these programs and you're going through what I and a lot of other legislators have had to do that are concerned about our environment, then you'll see what we're up against. We just aren't able to stand up to all the other pressures. And this just lets the people decide.
What do you mean, other pressures?
Well, the pressures on the general revenue fund. Everybody has their own, their own little or the big, whatever the case, their priorities. And but this is one. Now I repeat what I said earlier in the program here. This is one where you've got every single segment of the society that I've dealt with, our state parks and trails, our local people, the Minneapolis, St. Paul, Greater Minnesota, together. And if it's a good idea, it's a good idea. If it's a bad idea, it's a bad idea. I predict that if this would get on the ballot, this would exceed the percentage that we have in the constitutional right to hunt and fish, of which I was author, and the environmental trust, which is up to 77%. I predict this would exceed that with popularity with the general public. At least that's the word I'm getting from everybody I've talked to.
Do you think it will get on the ballot?
Well, that's another point. There's opposition, as you said, coming from some of the leadership. It's moving in the House, I think, and it's apparently now it's in front of the Minnesota State Tax Committee, the Senate Tax Committee. I predict if the bill is heard, it'll pass out of that committee, and then it'll go to rules. And then if it goes to rules, I think that we can get it to the floor.
But that's in the House, or
no?
In the Senate.
I'm talking about the Senate now.
Okay.
I know there's opposition to it by some, but that's a legislative process, and I told the Metro Parks people, I told the State Parks and Trails people, I told all the other groups I've dealt with that I'm committed to get it to the floor. I'll do everything I can to get it to the floor. I'll do every parliamentary maneuver that's available to me, and then we'll let the Minnesota Senate vote on it. And it is moving in the House, but these things take some time.
We're going to go to Jack in St. Cloud. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Yeah, it seems to me that what you're arguing about here isn't the end itself. I think anybody would agree that they're in favor of clean air and clean water. You're really talking about the means to the end. And there's a part of the lottery proceeds goes to the Environmental Trust Fund. It generates millions of dollars a year. Why don't they tap into that?
We
to balance the books here. You're really talking about a dishonest tax here, because what you're trying to do is shift the tax burden away from the users and onto the general taxpayers. And you have an environmental trust fund that's coming from the lottery proceeds that should be earmarked for things just like this.
It's interesting you bring this up. What you don't know is that the lottery, under our state constitution, the lottery environmental trust fund is supposed to get 40%, and the general revenue fund 60%. Remember, the general revenue fund gets 60% already, but about 8-9 years ago, a bill was added. The tax committees put take 6.5% off the top of the lottery proceeds and goes in right in the general revenue fund. So the general revenue fund is getting about 70-some percent now, and the Environmental Trust is only getting 28 because they take 6.5% right off the top, which is about $25 to $30 million
a year. You are sort of confused as a citizen, though, however. That's still an awful lot of money that comes from the lottery fund. How come that 30% isn't enough? How come that isn't going where it's supposed to be going?
Well, some of it goes to parks, some of it goes to trails, some of it goes to little individual, to wildlife. But also goes millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of dollars goes to studies. It goes to the Environmental Trust Fund. I've been always very perturbed about that. I happen to sit on this committee, the Legislative Commission of Minnesota Resources. And a fraction of what that actually goes to the things that we're talking about. It goes to all kinds of studies. University of Minnesota will come in. Pollution Control Agency will come in. Department of Natural Resources come in, and that's another bone to pick that I have, but it's at this point in time, I won't get into that.
We're going to go to Mark in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Yeah, hi, good morning, Senator Lessard. I really want to support your proposal here. I was myself out camping this weekend up in Taylor's Falls at Interstate State Park, and I also drove through William O'Brien, and you're right. There's a tremendous potential that's going untapped. And not only that, the facilities, as hard as the park staff tries, I chatted with them a little bit over the weekend when I was there. The roads have been patched and repatched. It's an unsafe turnoff off of the Highway 95 coming into Interstate State Park. We definitely need some long-range vision on this, and I think that whether it's the amendment to the Constitution or some other major device to fund state parks and resources, it's an investment we have to make. Even Governor Ventura has said something about tourism. You know, every dollar spent brings back $3. I would have to say the $3 billion that we receive from tourism and parks is a great return, so we ought to reward the parks with that.
I'm going to ask you something else to think about. What happens if we don't? What happens when we don't have the infrastructures and all the game fish infrastructure? What happens to the money that we generate to the general revenue fund? More, we're getting older and older and older. We're using our population. We're using these resources every year much, much more than the previous year. What happens at the end of the 21st century, go to the 22nd century? What happens? The point is, if we don't do something now, and by the way, there is no other permanent source. You cannot bind a future legislature. You can fund it all you want this year and next year, but you cannot bind a future legislature. So what you're doing here with this amendment is you're saying, hey, if people want to change it back 5 years from now, fine, they can vote the other way. But the point I'm trying to put across, there is no other avenue available to us if we're going to have long-term funding. That's it, and that's period.
We are talking to Senator Bob Lassard. He's a DFL senator from International Falls, and he's proposed an amendment to the state constitution to give us permanent funding for our natural resources. This would set aside a designated amount of funds from the state sales tax. We'd like to know if this was on the ballot this fall, would you vote for this proposed amendment? It's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities and you'd like to join this conversation, it's 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning. We're going to turn now to Patty Marsicano. She's standing by with the latest from the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom.
Thanks, Catherine. Good morning. Chinese President Jiang Zemin says Taiwan must recognize it is part of China before the two can begin talks. On Saturday, Taiwanese voters elected a pro-independence president, ending more than 50 years of rule by the Nationalist Party. Taiwan President-elect Chen Shui-bian has called for talks between the two sides as long as they treat each other as equals. There's less than a week to go before U.S. Airways flight attendants reach a strike deadline. A 30-day cooling-off period expires at 12:01 Saturday. The carrier is threatening to shut down rather than endure a strike. U.S. Airways' 10,000 flight attendants have gone more than 4 years without a raise. Tanzania has dropped charges against one of the people indicted for the August 1998 bombing of the U.S. embassy, which killed 11 people and injured 86 others. The director of public prosecution says he's reviewed the case and decided to free the Egyptian man. Another man indicted in the bombing will stand trial. In regional news, state health officials are monitoring reports that asbestos dust from two former vermiculite plants in Minneapolis killed and sickened dozens of people. Health Department spokesman Buddy Ferguson says the department is waiting for results of a broad screening of residents in the mining town of Libby, Montana, which shipped ore to the plants in Minneapolis and around the country for decades for the manufacture of attic insulation. Spring came to Minnesota at 1:35 this morning. It's the spring equinox. The sun will be up for 12 hours and 11 minutes, a full hour longer than on March 1st. The Twin Cities forecast for today, cloudy skies with a high of around 40. Tonight, cloudy skies with areas of fog possible, the overnight low in the lower 30s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and warmer, the high in the mid to upper 40s. Currently in St. Cloud, it's partly sunny and 36. In the Twin Cities, it's cloudy and 37. And that's the latest from the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. I'm Patty Marsicano.
Hi, it's Lynn Rossetto Casper. Be sure to join me for a special live broadcast of The Splendid Table from the Twin Cities Food and Wine Experience this Saturday at noon. Catherine Lanfer will be my partner in crime. Then stay tuned for our regular broadcast at 1. Be warned, we are taking over.
Programming on NPR is supported in part by News Radio 1330, WMNN, providing quick news, weather, and traffic updates at 1330 a.m., complementing the in-depth news and analysis on NPR.
I'm Catherine Lanfer. You're listening to Mid-Morning here on Minnesota Public Radio. I want to remind you, second half of Mid-Morning, shortly after 10, we'll be talking to Sherwin Newland. He is the surgeon who wrote the National Book Award-winning How We Die. He's got a new book out in which he separates myth from medicine. It's called The Mysteries Within. Make sure you stick around for that conversation. Meanwhile, we're continuing our conversation with State Senator Bob Lassard from International Falls. He has proposed a constitutional amendment that would permanently fund our natural resources, our conservation and environmental projects, from hiking trails to state parks to the Minnesota Zoo. Now, if you think this is a good idea, if you would like to see this on the ballot for this fall, or maybe you agree with the critics of this proposal that there are different ways to try to budget money for projects, for things like the environment, and that you think there are too many amendments to the Constitution as it is, well, give us a call anyway. It's 1-800-242-2828, 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. We're going to go to Dave in Rochester. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd just like to say that
it seems to me this is a perfect opportunity for private funding. When you see, like, the adopt a highway signs beside the highway, a company adopts a couple miles of highway and accepts responsibility of keeping it clean every once in a while, why not put those signs behind bike or beside bike trails or in public parks and things like that? It seems like a great opportunity for advertising and for promoting a company while coming up with a private funding source to help maintain these types of things.
Well, boy, would I ever love that, except you and we're talking big dollars here. If something like that would work, but in the real world, you wouldn't begin to be able to raise enough. By the way, I was one of the big supporters of the Adopt a Highway. I used to.
Well, is it really feasible to even talk about adopting a forest floor?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the whole point of going out, whether you're snowmobiling or skiing or fishing, is to get away from billboards and signage.
Well, this is correct. The sign, the opposition to signing is, it just isn't feasible, but it'd be great if it worked, but it's, in this particular case, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't begin to generate the revenue.
What about just the idea that maybe we should be looking at some sort of private endowment? Maybe instead of a constitution to the state amendment, we usually think of constitutions as dealing with life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Maybe we need to have some sort of a privately funded endowment for the state's conservation efforts.
If somebody could come up to show me how we're going to get an endowment and raise this kind of money on a yearly basis, to fund, you know, what is basically the infrastructure of the state of Minnesota, like I said, the largest landowner in the United, continental United States, it'd be great. But we're in a real world here. What this does is, I'm going to repeat what I said, it just gives people the opportunity to vote on whether or not we're going to take a small percentage of our sales tax to dedicate it for something for our children. That's basically what it does. And by the way, I want to, you know, I'm very reluctant also on constitutional amendments. I've only chief authored one of the constitutional amendments in the 24 years I've been here. But there are some times that serves what I call the greater good, and I'm convinced that this is one of those cases.
We're going to go to Steve in Lakeville. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try to make my points as quickly as possible. First of all, I am in favor of the of such a proposal that Lessard has. I am a forester in the private industry, and even though a lot of private foresters kind of worry about the DNR doing some of the business that we should do, I would like to see the DNR properly funded so they can do what they do best and not have to worry as much about funding. Second of all, I got my degree in forestry from the University of Missouri, and I'm a little bit familiar with how their operation works. I've even been to their commission meetings, and a lot of parallels are drawn between the two, and I think what a lot of people don't realize is that Missouri has both a Department of Conservation that's funded through sales tax, but also a Department of Natural Resources, and their Department of Natural Resources takes on the administration of their state parks, and they are not funded through the sales tax. They're funded more like our DNR is. So although there are some parallels, I think we need to be careful if we're going to be doing something similar that is exactly the same. So, and then lastly, I just wanted to say that I know some of the research projects that that people look at the LCMR and other commissions.
The LCMR, you better help us out here.
Well, the Legislative Commission of Minnesota Resources.
Thank you. Okay.
You know, I know some of them may look a little funny, and perhaps they are, but some of the findings that come back from that research enables people like the DNR to properly manage those resources. It gives them the information they need to manage those resources, and, yeah, we can argue about which ones are good and which ones are bad. I'm sure there's some that may not need to be funded, but we'll leave that up to you folks.
Well, now, Steve, I want you to hang on for just a minute here. Senator Lessard, did you have a reaction?
Well, this is true. You know, let me give an example. There was a previous caller talked about funding it. I remember if it was just million, I can't remember how many million dollars it was, but we used the satellites to look at our topographical, you know, all in the state of Minnesota, look at what we were right. We're state of the arts. Every county in the state is, I think every county in the state now has got topographical for our county, our county land commissioners, and so that's millions of dollars. That's millions upon millions of dollars to do that. So that's some of the things the LCMR is doing through the Environmental Trust portion of it that would never be done through the General Revenue Fund. So that's a point well spoken.
Steve, I want to ask you, now you're a forester and you've studied this and you're working in private industry, but I'm sure that you cast a pretty educated eye on what you think is going on with public forestry. You support this proposal. What's going on with funding? Why isn't there enough out there to support what needs to be done?
Maybe I haven't worked in Minnesota long enough. Mm-hmm. As I said, I've been here about 4 or 5 years.
You're a forester. You're looking around at things. What do you think?
Well, I agree that obviously if there's a decreasing revenue from hunting and fishing licenses, that's something that we need to think of in long term. Is that going to continue to decrease? Is it going to rise again? Maybe not. Maybe we have to think that they could continue to decrease, and we should plan for that to happen.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Well, it isn't just the decrease. It's the decrease of our game. And in our habitat, in our cleaning up our streams, and it just is not being properly funded. That is the issue here. More and more usage on it. So no matter, even if it increases, or it stays the same in license fees, that it doesn't begin to do the job. Again, I know I'm being redundant. If we're going to leave something for future generations, considering what this state has to manage, and like I said, it's the largest landowner in the United States.
We're going to go to Dale in Minneapolis. Welcome to Mid Morning.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Senator Lazard, I actually agree completely that we should be funding fully the proposal that you're talking about. I guess my concern is, and what I would not support the Constitution, the constitutional amendment for, is that I don't believe we should be using the Constitution to be setting aside specific amounts of money, because I think that's the job of the legislature, and I just don't know where this would end, I suppose. I suppose that's my biggest concern.
Well, yeah, and certainly you have the right to your opinion. But I'm saying this, that this is the only way that we're going to, this is my opinion, and I think the opinion by the far of all the people I've talked to, the only way we're going to permanently fund it, because you're at the whim of the legislature. And I can tell you, I've been here for 24 years, and you get a downturn in the economy and bingo, that goes right to the bottom of the list. And can you imagine what would happen right now if I wanted to take $75 or $100 million out of the General Revenue Fund to do this? You hear an outcry of that capital like you've never heard before. And as we go up, remember, we used to be $18 billion, $16 billion, $21 billion, now $24 billion. It doesn't even show up on the radar screen. It doesn't even show up. If you take a graph, you don't even see that amount of money. So it's a trifling amount of pay to take care of our resources of this state. And I'm convinced of it. And I guess the best answer I can give to that particular question.
We're going to go to Ray in Forest Lake. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thank you, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make just 3 points to address some previous callers. One is that there was a caller mentioned that why doesn't the user pay? In fact, I think what Senator Lazard is doing is trying to get the user to pay, in a sense, those who benefit.
Absolutely.
The economic benefits from natural resources through logging, through resorts, through sales tax, just the sales tax benefits alone, are tremendous, and yet the state is making less than 1% investment back into those resources. Second point is when you look at the losses of natural resources, these losses almost always occur incrementally, you know, through expansions in development, expansions in population, and so we don't really have the kind of crisis that attracts the kind of political attention that some other issues do. The third point is, and Senator Lazard has said this several times, but it's something that has to be recognized, is that the legislature has a lot of pressures on it for funding every year. When we look back at in the mid-'80s, we had an excellent program called the Reinvest in Minnesota program, widely supported. We had great legislative support for a couple of years. It recognized the need to reinvest in Minnesota resources. But now, you know, that program is funded at a very low level. Only two segments of it are still left that are still being funded. And the reason is because of these political pressures to fund things other places where there's a political payback. The only way that we're going to be able to sustain long-term investment in natural resources is the way Senator Lazard has suggested, which is through a constitutional amendment.
And whoever, I didn't get your name, but you said it far more articulately than I could. I'm very familiar with the RIM. And I think the key issue is it's investment for every single taxpayer, every single person in the state of Minnesota. It is a broad base. You're right on target when you said it benefits everybody in the state.
We're going to go to Ivor in Duluth. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Thanks, Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a statement, and then Senator Lessard could respond to it, if I might.
Yeah.
I'm opposed to the constitutional amendment to provide dedicated funds for the DNR. In my view, this would give them a special status where they would no longer have to be responsive to either the voters or the legislators. And this, to me, is not a healthy situation. As a matter of fact, my view is that they'd be like a loose cannon. And I frankly don't trust the use of that the DNR is making for their current resources. Let me give you some examples. They seem to be funny, and yet here in Duluth, a year and a half ago, they were willing to spend something like $14 million to bring the USS Des Moines into our bayfront. It's a kind of expenditure that isn't typical of the DNR. And currently, they're willing to spend $4 million for the McQuaid boat launch, a boat launch that isn't needed. It's not a safe harbor. They try to call it a safe harbor, but it's not a safe harbor. And they would well spend their money to improve the safe harbor at Knife River rather than spending $4 million for a boat launch that appeals to a very small group of voters.
Let Senator Lessard respond to this.
Well, first off, I couldn't agree more with you on some of the initiatives. I'm not going to get into particulars of the Department of Natural Resources, but what I did not mention, I should have, is this money that goes to the Department of Natural Resources goes to the to an enhancement account within the Game and Fish. And to make you very well aware of what your concerns are, and those are my concerns also. But in the legislation, we set up a screening committee composed of a number of people that come from the private, sportsmen and women, different groups, and they will advise, recommend, and approve before it ever goes to the legislature to allocate the money, before these projects are ever passed on. In other words, the projects would go to the local people, would go to our sportsmen and women, different groups, and they will come up with plans. That was a very integral part of my legislation. It does not go to the department for them to pick and choose. It goes to the group, and they will make recommendations. So I'm very well aware of what you're talking about, and I'll tell you this. I would not be proposing this constitutional amendment if I didn't have a group set up that would make recommendations and approve the legislation. So this is not going to be a deal where you give it to your carte blanche, the DNR. Believe me, that's going to be a very strong part, and that is in the constitutional amendment. I should have mentioned that sooner.
We're talking to Bob Lessard, DFL senator from International Falls. He's the backer of a proposed plan to put a constitutional amendment to dedicate funds for the great outdoors, for conservation, for our natural resources. Would you vote for this kind of amendment if it was on the ballot this November? It's 1-800-242-2828. 1-800-242-2828. If you're in the Twin Cities, it's 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. I'm glad our previous caller brought up the question of the DNR funding, Senator Lessard, because I have to say that in past years, it would be generous to describe your relationship with the DNR as thorny. Has it improved?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I went through this for 8 years. I've chaired this committee for over a decade now, and you're absolutely right. I've had some very, very serious, very, very, been very concerned, and that's why of where the funding goes once it gets in the Department of Natural Resources. You know, I'm not naive in this process. If you look at the constitutional amendment, again, I'll repeat what I said. We set it up to a committee composed of different groups that will recommend and approve. It's similar like we do now have what we call our Wallet Bro funds. We get money every year from the federal government back on amount of fishing licenses that we sell. And what we do is that money comes to the state of Minnesota. The state of Minnesota submits their plans. That money goes back to Washington. That plan goes back to Washington. And before one dime of that can be spent, they have to approve it. In other words, it has to go for fishery projects. Something comes into the parameters of that particular piece of legislation, something to improve fishing or water quality. So this is the same type of program. I know exactly where you're coming from, but believe me, this constitutional amendment, it'll be spelled out that clearly that this is not going to happen. Or, I wouldn't be carrying this constitutional amendment.
We're going to go to Sam. He's calling us from New Brighton. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hello.
Hi.
I got a couple of things. I do believe that some money that gets earmarked for funding does get spent inappropriately. My experience is I worked for the Forest Service for 8 years in Colorado, and I have a degree in forestry from Vermilion College in Ely, Minnesota. And some of the funding was wasted, but by and large, we just didn't get any funding. I was head of the Trails Department for 8 years on a district in Colorado, and I went from a crew of eight down to not even having enough money to buy gloves. And the trails just showed it. After 2 or 3 years, the trails started getting rutted. People were complaining.
So how do you think this is analogous to Minnesota?
Well, I just think that Minnesota will experience the same problem in the long run. Colorado has quite a bit more use compared to Minnesota, I would think. I think Minnesota is going to experience some deterioration of the trails that they probably already have. I haven't been around here for more than a couple of months since I've been back in Colorado. But I can assure you that if funding isn't provided, things just go downhill so fast that you can't even believe it. And I just wanted to make that point because I've experienced it firsthand, and it's very, very frustrating to work for a department that has no money. You want to do good things, and you just can't, and it's really frustrating. I just wanted to make that point.
Thank you, Sam.
I'd like to point out that I have this particular piece of legislation has gotten the support of just everything from Pheasants Forever, from the deer hunters, from the rough grouse, from the trails people, from the Metropolitan State Park. I've never again, from every single group that I'm aware of, and by the way, I've carried hunting and fishing, not just hunting and fishing, this legislation for over a decade now, been here for 24 years, and I've never seen so much enthusiasm for a bill from such a broad spectrum of people. I want to make that clear that I'm absolutely convinced that that if we put this on the ballot again, we'll let the people decide that this it would be right up there with our constitutional amendment, our environmental trust, and our that was passed just a year ago.
So if this passed, we would have a constitutional amendment that guaranteed your right to hunt and fish, and then we would have a constitutional amendment that would guarantee money to make sure there is something to hunt and fish.
Well,
what about people who worry that hunting and fishing is becoming far
this is not just hunting and fishing. Remember, there's talk trails, parks, trails, water cleanup. That's just a percentage of what we're talking about. The reason we bring that up is that generates millions of dollars, as do our trail systems. What I'm saying is, if you didn't have that, you wouldn't be generating the money to take care of all these other programs. But the issue is, then again, it's for the future of our kids. That's what this is about, and let the people decide it.
We'll go to Barb in St. Paul. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hello. I was just wondering whether or not this proposal might, in some way, unwittingly, underfund the parks in some way. For example, if the economic conditions change dramatically and the cost of services go up and that kind of thing. Or if we have a natural disaster.
Yeah, I do. And the bill also says...
Just one more thing. I'm just wondering if that were to happen, if the taxpayers might not turn and say, well, you know, we funded it, and, you know, we can't pay for it now, then where do we get the money?
Well, first off, in the legislation, it says it does not supplant traditional sources of funding. So the funding that's coming into it now, with the General Revenue Fund and other programs, it would not take the place. That would still come in. This would be on top of that. So that's part of it. But I have a faith inherent in the people of the state of Minnesota who know where their values are. We're a treasure in this state, and I have the faith in the people, the voters, and not just the voters, the sportsmen and women, the park people, everybody in the state of Minnesota that know what their priorities are. And I have a complete faith that they would put this at the top of their priority. If you go out on the street and ask why do you live in Minnesota, they'll illustrate the very reasons that we need this piece of legislation. And I have that faith, and that's, again, why I'm asking the people to decide on this particular constitutional amendment.
We're going to go to Fred, and calling us from Little Falls. Welcome to Mid-Morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mr. Lassard, it sounds like a great idea, but I'm wondering if first of all, would this be something that would, you know, you talk about trails and stuff, would this be something that would just be making more trails for the four-wheeler, snowmobile crowd, that type of thing?
Well, very little. Well, first off, trail, when I say trails, there's hiking trails, there's walking trails. I say trail system. The snowmobile trail system right now is mostly supported by the, actually, by the users for a gas tax type of situation. And so when I say trails, Minnesota State Parks and Trails, State Parks and Trails, you know, the trail system is far. There's all kinds of trails. There's walking trails. I can go on and on and on about that. So that I think, is a red herring, because that's just one small, small percentage of this. There's so much. This legislation is so much broader than that. I think it sets the tone for what we're going to do for the environmental future of the of this state.
Yeah. Another thing, I was wondering about the concerns about the boundary waters and the roadless areas.
This has absolutely nothing to get into the boundary waters. This has got nothing to do. That's federal legislation, and again, that's a red herring. This has got nothing to do with the boundary waters whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I was just, you know, the key here, you know, like they said, the hunting and fishing amendment went over great, you know. And as a previous caller said, we got to have some place to do it, right?
Right.
And
but that's, again, that's just a small part, just a percentage of this. It's much broader than just that.
We're going to go to Phil in Granite Falls. Phil, I'm going to ask you to scoot right along. We're running out of time.
Well, good morning. Actually, I'm from the Twin Cities. I'm on the road on my cell phone on the way to Granite Falls.
Uh-huh.
So I do get out and use the parks and everything else. And, well, my question is, would we have Yellowstone today if it wasn't made part of the Constitution by somebody 100 years ago, and have everything we did have today if it wasn't mandated? If we don't do something like this, I think the senator's right. The minute we get in
what
trouble,
amendment
the first
is,
thing we dump
wait a minute.
Is
woo,
all
woo,
of
woo,
the
woo.
Parks and everything
Phil,
else.
Stop, stop. What amendment gave us Yellowstone?
Well, it wasn't a part of the, wasn't there a constitution, something put in the Constitution?
Actually, it was done by, almost stronger than the Constitution. It was done by an act of Congress. It was went back, Theodore Roosevelt setting aside, goes back, way back into the future, or during his term or right after, when they started realizing, and it was done through congressional action, is what it was done through, which is...
let's end on this question then. Why can't the state legislature come up with some sort of permanent funding device rather than an amendment to the Constitution?
Because it simply won't work. Because what I've been going through for over a decade, we're just not going to fund it. And this is, again, I'll go right back and being redundant, and that I want the people to be able to decide on this, and I'm convinced that it'll pass with an overwhelming majority.
All right. Now, Bob, let's start quickly in the seconds we have. Do you think that it's going to get to the floor of the Senate?
Well, again, I know that, and I'm nothing personal, but I know the leadership is against it, but I will do